Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me, please, the sermon title for this morning? Will you roll up your shirt sleeves? Based on our epistle lesson for the sermon, that is, from James chapter 2, we'll be reading a number of verses, but our theme comes from James 2, verse 17. James writes, "So faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." I invite you to follow the sermon outline provided for you in your handout this morning as we together we consider our theme, "Will you roll up your shirt sleeves?" I have many fond memories of my life as a young boy growing up on our dairy farm in Green Acres, Washington, just outside of Spokane. Fond memories of milking the cows, taking care of the other animals, working in the vegetable garden and grandma's flower garden. And most of the jobs I enjoyed quite a bit, and I actually missed them quite a bit. And when we have some free time, Beverly and I go on a long bike ride. And if you go north of Westminster Highway on 7 Road, there's some beautiful farmland and a beautiful dairy. I love riding the bike by there and taking a long, long smell. I love it. But there was one job on the dairy farm I really didn't like and don't particularly miss. And it was the job announced by my grandfather when he said to me, because I was the youngest of the boys, he said, "Stephen, it's time to roll up your shirt sleeves and get to work." Oh, no, because then I knew that meant it was to shovel cow manure. And after milking many cows, there was a lot of cow manure to shovel. It would be hard work, with no glory in sight, let alone aroma. All people naturally seek glory and not hard work. This was true addressed by James in our epistle lesson today. The church that James addresses were going through the same thing. And the theme of that congregation James addresses could have been this: not our shirt sleeves. James was addressing a congregation that wanted glory and enjoyment. They wanted to welcome rich people. They wanted to welcome people of high status into their congregation. They didn't want the hassle, the burden, the inconvenience of caring for the poor or the hungry or people of a different race or people of a different status. Listen to what James says in chapter 2. "My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you say to the one in fine clothing, 'You sit here in a good place,' while you say to the poor man, 'You stand over there,' or 'Sit at my feet,' have you not become judges with evil thoughts? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking food, and you say, 'Go in peace,' without giving them what they need, what good is that?" And here comes the key verse. "So faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." James' famous words, probably the most famous words in James' entire epistle: faith without works is dead. A Christian faith that does not care for others who are in need is a dead, barren, counterfeit faith. This was also an issue for Peter, one of the closest disciples of our Lord. In Mark chapter 8, Peter makes a wonderful confession of faith. He says of Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." But then Jesus tells Peter that being the Christ means hard work without easy glory. It means rolling up his shirt sleeves, as it were, for a horrible task. dying on a cross for the sins of the world. But Peter then rebukes Jesus and says, no, Jesus, no. There's no glory in that. Stay away from the cross. I want no part of your cross. But then Jesus rebukes Peter and says, Peter, that's the very reason I came. Following me means denying your wants and bearing the cross of suffering and service for others. Did you hear what I just said? Or is this a time in the sermon when one kind of tunes out and catches up on one's sleep? This is such an important teaching of Holy Scripture that we overlook far too often. Jesus says again, following me means, if you are a Christian, a little Christ, it means denying your wants, bearing the cross of suffering and service for somebody else. What about us today? Are we, like the church James addresses, are we comfortable? So comfortable confessing our faith in Jesus on Sunday mornings, palling around with church members just like us that we've known since Noah's come in the ark, hoping that things at church will keep on going the way that I like them, but steering clear of committing my life to my Savior Monday through Saturday of my life, of reaching out to outsiders and those who are different than me, avoiding the messy business of moving from here's what I want to what could it be that others need? Or like Peter, can we talk a good talk of faith in Jesus, for example, put in our 1 hour a week, but then stay away from any personal hardships that come for taking a stand for Christ and for what is right? Staying away from saying yes. Oh no, I must stay away from saying yes to an invitation to a deeper involvement in service in this congregation or our community, our homes. Our sinful flesh tells us, you don't want to roll up your shirt sleeves. You want the easy, lazy, self-serving way. And then James' words come as a word of judgment. Faith without works is dead. All of us are guilty of talking the talk, but not walking the walk. And this truth drives us to our Savior for forgiveness. And the good news of the gospel is this. Our Lord Jesus Christ rolled up His shirt sleeves for us and for our salvation. Listen to what Jesus says about Himself in Matthew 20, verse 28. Jesus says, you want to know the reason I came? Here it is. He said, for the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give His life as a ransom for many. Jesus rolled up His shirt sleeves, gave up the glories of heaven to go to a cross that we deserved, to give His holy and perfect life as a payment, a ransom for our sin. Oh, by the way, that Greek word ransom is just pregnant with meaning. The Greek word ransom means this: the riches that are paid to buy back a prisoner of war, the price that's paid to free slaves or to buy somebody out of hopeless debt. It's the amount that's paid. Catch this. The amount that's paid, which is the calculated worth of that person's life based on their age, their skills, their status, their education. Well, let me ask you this morning, what are you worth? If a ransom had to be made for you, what was the price that had to be paid? What is the amount of ransom that was paid for you? the very life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our sin, our selfishness, our rebellion has put us into debt with Almighty God. And Scripture says the wages of sin is death. The debt that's owed is our earthly and eternal life. But on the cross, Jesus substituted His life for your life. He died and rose for you. Your debt is paid in full. Your ransom has been finished. And here's some more good news. The Holy Spirit of the living God strengthens us today for the task of rolling up our shirt sleeves and caring for others. The Holy Spirit living in us and working through us enables us to have a living faith that is demonstrated in the care in Christ's name we give to somebody else. There's a beautiful word picture in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 7, that describes this. Let me read it to you. Isaiah says, "The Lord lifts me up, and I shall not be disgraced." The picture is of a battlefield, and a wounded soldier has fallen. His companion comes to his side to comfort him, to protect him, to lift him up to safety. And of course, this is a picture of what our dear, precious Lord did for us. The Lord lifts me up, we can say, and I shall not be disgraced. And we then can be on the lookout for others who have fallen, who are emotionally or physically or spiritually wounded. And here's a holy mystery. Are you ready for this? Rolling up our shirt sleeves in the service of other people is really serving our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Himself paints a picture of Judgment Day in Matthew 25, when we stand before Him and listen to His words as He says this. "And the King will say to them, 'Truly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these my brethren, you did it to me.'" Church history tells us of a man named Martin of Tours. Martin was a Roman soldier, catch this, and also a Christian. One cold, wintry day, a beggar asked the soldier, Martin of Tours, for some help. Martin had no money, but he gave the beggar what he had, his tattered, beat-up soldier's tunic, his soldier's coat. And that night, Martin had a dream. In the heavenly places, he saw Jesus, his King, sitting on the throne, surrounded by the angels of heaven. And Jesus was wearing Martin's battered, old army soldier's coat. One of the angels bowed before him and said, "Oh, Master, Lord Jesus, why are you wearing such a filthy, battered old coat?" And Jesus answered, "Oh, no, this is a coat of glory. My servant Martin gave it to me." Roll up your shirt sleeves, my grandpa used to say to me. Roll up your shirt sleeves, said James to his congregation. Roll up your shirt sleeves, Jesus said to Peter. May our dear Lord Jesus, who rolled up His shirt sleeves for us and for our salvation, and who gave His life as a ransom for us, enable you to roll up your shirt sleeves as you demonstrate your faith by a life of love and service to others, always and only in the name of Jesus. Amen.